This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Well, welcome to the Underground. How are you guys? Everybody good?
Amen.
You guys look great from here. I need to get my prescription changed, though, but I'm seeing in faith. All right. You know how they say when one of your senses, you know, if you lose one of your senses, like your sight or your hearing, you know, the other senses are heightened to kind of compensate. We have that kind of amazing ability. And I really believe that's true. This morning, my leg fell asleep really bad. And when I got up to walk, you know, out of bed, my face felt really sensitive when it hit the floor. So I know that's very true. So Friday was my wife's birthday. Yeah, happy birthday. 27. No, I'm kidding. That was pretty cool. Hey, there we go. That was wonderful. You see, my gift was to not sing. Okay, that was my gift. So I spent, like, I think, over 20 years in South Florida, and there was a lot of elderly people there. You know, they had many birthdays. And you know why older people wear such bright colors? It's because they're trying to convince everyone they're still alive. All right. It's also why they wear those big sunglasses, you know, so they can look at each other with the bright colors. Anyway, with Lena's birthday being here, the exciting part of me, you know, wanted to just go all out, spend all kinds of, you know, just you know, not hold anything back. But my bank account said to me, don't even think about it. You know, that was that part of it. I'm not really good with numbers or money or those kind of things. I failed math so many times, I can't even add up how many times I failed math. I can't even tell you. But I was telling my wife, if you're going to borrow money from a pessimist because they won't expect you to pay them back. I'm like, so I was reading today about money a little bit. It costs $250,000 to raise a child. I was just amazed at that. And I was telling my wife, I said, for $250,000, I could hire an adult to take care of me for the rest of my life. But anyway, she had a wonderful birthday. Instead of buying her one of those big screen TVs, I just scooted her chair really close to the TV we have. Saved us a lot of money. Anyway, we are the church tonight, you know, represented here. It's one of those things where what we experienced just a few months ago, even when we lose a building, when the building falls down, now you can see the church. We are the church here tonight. We're really, really pleased to be part of that. What are we doing as a church? Well, if Jesus were here in flesh and blood right here and now, that's what we're doing. We're doing what he would be doing, walking around this community and in our homes and in the lives of people. So tonight we're talking a little bit about emotions, just to touch on addiction a little bit. You know, we naturally seek pleasure, and we naturally avoid pain. And because of that dynamic, you know, that introduces us to addiction. You know, it happens to us it's very easy to fall into. And addiction then leads us into what we call extreme behavior. You know, the farther and farther you go into it, it leads us to more and more extremes. And those extremes then lead us into a life that, well, eventually it leads us into a life that's very small. Our lives get narrower and narrower because of the extreme behavior. And the people we end up hanging out with also exhibit extreme behavior. And so our social group gets smaller. We invite the Lord into our lives. We become a brand new person. We receive a brand new identity. But when I become a brand new person, I look in the mirror and I see the same old mugshot looking back at me. I'm still living in the same body that I had before, with all of its history, and every cell of my body carries that history, those memories. And the Lord wants to, through His Spirit in me, you know, my problem isn't really between me and God anymore. It's between my soul and the Spirit living in me. He wants to break through that wall and become more and more one with me by His Spirit living in me already, in my mind, my will, and my emotions, to heal my soul. And this is a process. It takes time. The Lord's very patient with us in this process. Could you imagine if you were, for one reason or another, in a wheelchair for 20 years, and a person began to get you up out of that wheelchair and begin healing you? You know, all that you would have to go through to heal and be able to walk around and work and provide for your family, all that you would have to happen to you physically, and mentally and emotionally, to rise up out of that and lead a normal life. Well, that's oftentimes the situation we're in with our soul. Our soul has been dependent on the flesh. The flesh does things for us, you know, operates for us. And so we're learning to operate in a brand new way. So God comes along and He begins to heal our wounds. Why do we use crutches? We use crutches to help us walk, right? Because we're wounded. If we were born connected to God and one with God the way Christ was, we would have never developed those crutches. You know, Jesus never had the flesh. He never developed it because He didn't need it. And so God comes along and begins healing our wounds. And as He heals our wounds, He then asks us to do a very brave thing and give up the crutches. He says, "Can you give me the crutches? I'm healing you. I'm healing you. Now I want you to give me those crutches." And this is the process we're in. And if I refuse that healing, instead of imparting my strengths and all the attributes I want to give to my family and my community, I end up imparting to them my defects of character instead, which they will then receive, and they'll remember me by them. And so Jesus, where is He now? He's high priest forever, the right hand of God. He is in this permanent position. And He knew when He was on earth, He was being trained. He knew He was being prepared. And He took that training and that preparation very, very seriously. And this is what we are to be after as well.
We're talking tonight about emotions. And although none of us can see them, we all know that we have them. And another thing that we know tonight is that if we don't learn to deal with and manage our emotions, they will most certainly deal with and manage us. Anyone who is controlled or led by their emotions will often make decisions that they will later regret. And many times our emotions, if we follow them, will lead us to places that we really don't want to go. As we walk out our healing in our lives, it's so important for us to stand firm on what God says is true, rather than to allow ourselves to be led around by our emotions. As many of you know, 6 or 7 years ago, I began a journey of walking out healing in my own life. I was sexually abused by my own grandfather for over 22 years, among many other abusive relationships that were going on at the same time. And you can believe me when I say that I was a puppet in the hands of my emotions. I needed healing. And for me to receive and experience that healing in my life, I had to accept and believe the truth. And then I had to be willing to stand on that truth. And God has put me to the test many times in these past few years, as Stan and I have been working together in recovery, doing what we do here at the Underground. And a couple of years ago, a person came into our lives here at the Underground. Nobody that's here tonight. But I was very scared of that person. That person triggered fear in me big time. And I would run every time that person entered the room. And after this behavior had continued for several weeks, I realized that I was allowing the emotion of fear to control me. And I didn't like that. And I made the decision that I was not going to let that happen again. And so I thought, God said that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And here is an area where I am weak. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, I need You. Your word tells me that I have the mind of Christ. Jesus lives in my heart. And the next time I see this person, I'm going to look at them through Your eyes, not mine. And I'm going to love them with Your heart. And this emotion of fear is not going to control me anymore. And so I couldn't say that I was looking forward to seeing this person again. But when I did, I said, come on, Jesus, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. And just like He promised, He got really big in me and just filled me up. And I got really, really small. And I was able to walk up to that person and put my arms around them and tell them how glad I was that they came with no fear. It was gone. And I was like, cool. And wouldn't you know, that person never came back again. I never saw him. I haven't seen him since. And I thought, it was a lesson for me to learn. And I was very, very happy that it turned out the way it did and that God backed me up, you know. And it was really awesome. And I thought, it really does work that way. Yes. Amen. So by the power of the gospel, and by standing on the truth of what God says, we can rise above and overcome our emotions.
That's wonderful. And I remember when that happened, that was a very special time. And I've seen her grow and overcome many, many situations like that. Things can be scary. You know, my dad was a stand-up comedian for over 20 years, I believe. And I did not inherit that gift. But I think I did. See, a big difference. He was also a clown, right? My dad was a clown for I don't know how many years. You know how confusing it is to get yelled at by somebody with a smile painted on their face? I wanted to say that. That was pretty funny. Anyway, all right, where am I? So if you imagine, I said all that just to say that little clown joke. It was a clown joke, you know? Only here at the Underground. We were at other places, I forget, and I don't think I ever said a clown joke in any of those places. I think this was the first time. We've done other things. I remember when we did a little banquet here, and I did a little stand-up thing here, and all the kids were at the church, the Lutheran church. I think all the child care was over there. We stopped in to see all the kids before we came in. It was unbelievable. All the kids were like jammed in this little tiny crib. It looked like a bus stop for midgets, to tell my wife. It was like that. And it was just like standing room only. And there was so much dampness from all the diapers. There was a rainbow over the crib. Anyway, so if you imagine this is like Sesame Street here, and I have an A and a B and a C right here. We have a really basic, a lot of people know the concept, but the ABC of emotions is very important. A, we have the event or, you know, what happened to us, what someone said to us. So that's A. And then we have C over here, the consequence or the response or the reaction. And we oftentimes say, consequence C, or the response happened because of A, what someone, you know, said or has done to me. But we forget about B, you know, our beliefs. You know, what happens here in between A and C is actually what's responsible. And so that's super important. The moment we're hurt, the moment we're disappointed, our minds begin to go into a story. And we begin to tell ourselves some things. And oftentimes that story problem is associated with some memories we have or a habit we have formed in responding in that particular way, those memories are very, very powerful drivers in our responses to things. And so there's kind of two sides of our emotions. There's the mental side or the cognitive side, and then there's the physical side. My body will actually produce chemicals and react according to what I'm thinking. You know, if I'm sitting here thinking very angry thoughts, my body's going to begin responding in a very angry way. And that carries on in whatever train of thought you have. So when we believe lies, they really affect our lives the same way the truth does, in that it produces behavior, comes out. And so, you know, we hear a lot about free will. God will not come in and, choose for you or override your free will kind of stuff you hear a lot. And you hear a lot about free will, especially when we deal with people with addictions. A lot of people are like, well, he chose. This person chose to respond this way. They're choosing. You know, we hear that a lot. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of truth there. But I find in our position, the stuff that we see a lot, you know, that lacks some compassion sometimes, the way Christ came into my life, the way the Spirit moves in my life, and the way I see the Spirit moving in people's lives overrides all those things. He sees things in a radically different way than where you have free will and you're choosing. And that's too easy. We took our little granddaughter to a karate class. Our granddaughter has rheumatoid arthritis, and she's had some very traumatic experiences with doctors, people dressed in white. And when she saw all the karate uniforms coming at her in the form of adults and children, she could not handle it. And you could look at her and say, well, she's choosing to not participate. She's choosing to respond the way she's responding. Yeah. But she's also seeing things a certain way. She's perceiving the situation to be something that it's not. And so God comes into our lives as such a compassionate shepherd. And he doesn't just say, well, you're choosing. He says, will you let me heal your wounds? Will you begin to see things in light of the truth? Will you see how much I love you and I hold the truth and there's a different reality? Will you be open to see it, that perhaps you're not seeing things in the right way? And he offers us such healing that I would like to question a little bit about the free will thing and say, can we be agents of healing instead of just hammering people with that, you know? Amen. You know, if I keep hitting my finger with a hammer, if I'm trying to build something, which if I tried to build something, I would. But if I kept hitting my finger with a hammer over and over and over, you know, eventually I have to stop and step back and say, okay, what's going on? What am I doing here? You know, what's happening? And this is the way God moves in our lives. He wants to talk to us about the identity that we're operating out of. And what he says is true. Who he has genuinely made us to be. His Spirit breathed into us, giving us a true identity.
God says that we have been bought with a price. We belong to God. He says that we have been forgiven of all of our sins and that we are complete in him. We have a brand new identity. We have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. And we can now approach him with freedom and confidence. Why? Because we are now citizens of heaven. And God is training us to stand in this place of strength, in this place of safety and security that we find in him. But we do have an enemy out there. And one of his avenues into our lives, one of the ways that he can control us is through our emotions. And he does not want us to know and believe the truth of who we are in Christ. Now, obviously, God gave us our emotions. But our emotions are not how we determine truth. We can feel very intense emotions, mm-hmm. both good and bad. but we can't use those to draw conclusions. And our enemy wants us to follow our emotions.
Yes.
He wants us to be led around by them. Joyce Meyer has a little skit that she does, and it's an amazing visual of how this works. And we're going to do it here tonight for you. If Debbie and Yvonne would please come up here.
We're only going to do this because you laughed at the clown joke. I said, if they don't laugh at the clown joke, forget the illustration.
Okay, we're going to pretend tonight that Yvonne is Debbie's emotions. Yvonne is the emotional part of Debbie. And something now has happened in Debbie's life that has really upset her. Maybe a phone call, someone hurt her feelings, maybe she's very angry. And her emotions now are going crazy. They're all over the place. So now emotions, you can go ahead and take off in any direction you want to go and just do whatever you feel like doing. And now see, our enemy wants Debbie to just take off and follow her emotions. Go wherever they go, do whatever it is that they lead her to do. Just follow them and obey them. So, okay, you come back up here and stand again. And I think you get the idea. The enemy wants us to follow our emotions. What does God want us to do when our emotions flare up? They want to take off in one direction or another. God wants us to stand firm in our new identity as royal sons and daughters of the living God, clothed in His righteousness. And we brought this along tonight to represent the righteousness that God gives to us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Remember, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You are united with the Lord, and you are one spirit with Him. So you can just let those emotions go and do whatever it is they want to do. But we are going to live and walk by the power of the Holy Spirit based on what God says is true about us. We stand in Jesus' name. And when we say in Jesus' name, we mean in His identity. Thank you, Debbie.
All right. That was wonderful. I really like that. You know, Joseph had emotional wounds in the scriptures here, Genesis 37, where it represents so many ways that we get wounded emotionally in our lives. He was sold as a slave by his own family. How many of us have been hurt by our own family? He was wrongly accused by his boss's wife of committing adultery. You know, how many of us have been hurt by the people that we work with? And he was left and forgotten in jail, even after helping someone. And so he was hurt by his community around him. And when you hear Joseph's language about what had happened to him, you see an important key that represents, you know, his perspective on what had happened to him. He says to his brothers, this is after he is brought to an incredible position of power and authority, and he's speaking to his brothers who are very afraid. And he says, don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. He says, God sent me here ahead of you. And he says, God sent me on to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land. He says, God set me in a place as a father to Pharaoh. And we just see this language here all throughout what he says, that God fills his language. And the more we hear people talk about what other people have done to them, the role of circumstance, the more we know the person still needs healing. And the more that God fills their language, that represents the healing that they have received, that God fills their language.
Until we establish our truest identity in Christ as a resting place, we will continue, even as Christians, to act out on our emotions. They're not going anywhere. And like we said before, God gave us our emotions, but he wants us to control them. It's called self-control. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I so badly want to continue to make progress in my own life. And it's my prayer for all of us here tonight. I've always told Stan, and we've talked about it, like if we're going to be Christians and live this life for God, we want to do it. You know, we don't want to ride along and see what we can get away with. And, you know, it's like if we want to do that, we did that for many years. You know, it's like I either want to go one direction or the other. It's not much fun to go down the middle. And so I just want to continue making progress. And it's just such a joy to see growth and healing going on here. Most of us can control our emotions when we're out in public, can't we? When we're around people that we want to impress. But what about when we go home? What about when it's just you alone with your husband or your wife? Or maybe it's just you and the kids. I know that the home that I grew up in, I never knew from one minute to the next what was going to be happening. I didn't know who was going to do what, or if I was going to be safe, or if all hell was going to break loose. And it's not very much fun to grow up in an environment like that. I had an angry, violent father and a codependent, abused mother. And one of the things that they did not teach us growing up was how to control our emotions. Mm-hmm. And how to live a life of stability and self-control. But the good news is that we can start now. And I turned 53 years old Friday, and I'm excited every morning to learn more about God, to get closer to Him, to be more like Him. And it's an exciting life. It's the best life that Stan and I have ever lived. And there are so many situations where I can feel like a nobody, but I know that that's not true. And there are times when I feel like giving up, but I know that that's not the voice of God. There are times when I feel like holding a grudge against someone who's hurt my feelings, but I know that God would have me offer them the same forgiveness that He has so freely given to me. And so if you want to see something awesome and amazing and powerful, start declaring the truth yes. over your feelings. Start loving others when you don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. And if someone is unkind to you and treats you unfairly, go out and do something good for someone. Romans 12:21 tells us that evil is overcome with good.
That's wonderful. Evil is overcome with good. I was talking to my brother about, his relationships, you know, the divorce he's been through. This is a joke. And he said instead of getting married again, he would just find a lady he doesn't like very much and buy her a house. Okay. In light of what she just said, I do want to say that in all seriousness, the enemy is opposed to you as a son of God. He's absolutely opposed to you as a daughter of the living God. We have to deal with our three enemies, the world, which is peer pressure in a sense, the world system, the flesh, and the devil. I would say the world system would be the weakest of the three. And I would say that our number one enemy would be the flesh, our selfish nature. Because I shower with it, I eat breakfast with it, I go to sleep with it, it's with me. And it's through that the other enemy, the devil himself, gets into my home and my life and my own actions. Our selfish nature or our flesh is constantly going to tell you that you're not okay. It's going to try to convince you that you want certain things and that you are not who God says you are. That you are your desires, that you are your emotions, you are all those cravings, that's actually you and it's not. God does not say that's who you are. You're not going to find that in the Word. You are who God says you are, the righteousness of Christ. You are His beloved son and daughter, and that will be challenged every step of the way. And so with the ABCs, there's two sides of the board. There's what happens to me, what is said to me, what is done to me, and there is my response. And that all hinges on this middle part of what I'm going to choose to believe and how I'm going to operate as a son or a daughter of God. And so, assuming responsibility for my emotions, you know, when I first heard this, I'm like, great, not only does this person, do they do these things to me, but now I'm responsible for how I feel. You know, that's even more weight, but it's not. It's actually freedom, because it means that no one can control me. No one can control my response, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, any given moment. You know, I was listening to a guy talk about taxi drivers in New York, and he said, yeah, you know what we do when we're driving a taxi in New York, and another cab hits me in the back, you know, and we have a little fender bender. I'm like, what? He says, well, we keep going, because that's what happens out there. Happens all the time. But when someone like bumps into the back of my bumper, oh, you know, pull over, let's call, get the paperwork out. What were you thinking? You know, and all this stuff happens. And the reason that they do not respond in that way out there is because of expectation. You know, they expect those things to happen. And we can expect in this world, driven by the flesh, driven by the world system, driven by the enemy, that we are going to get, you know, run into oftentimes in many ways.
If I choose to, I can allow my anger to turn into hatred and live out of all that that's going to bring into my life. Or I can let my anger be consumed by the love of God. Yes. And that is real power. I can let my anguish and my disappointments in life turn into self-pity and live a selfish life thinking only of myself. Mm-hmm. Or I can overcome my anguish and my disappointments in life with the joy of God. I can let my concerns turn into worry and fear, or I can let my concerns be ruled by the peace of God. And that is true power. God is calling each one of us tonight to a higher place.
Yes.
He's calling us to a life of self-control and of stability. And He's calling us to live a life that glorifies Him.
So there comes a time in every believer's life where God will come to us and say, all those old coping strategies, all those old ways of operating, that old mode of operation, you don't need it anymore. It does not need to provide that service that it used to provide, that we needed it to provide before we knew God, before we were a son or daughter of God. And He's telling us now, you do not need those things. And we can begin to let them go. And oftentimes when a person struggles with the same thing over and over, it's like, have I not been here before? Why do my relationships continue to go the same way? Why do I keep running into the same problem? Is God is oftentimes showing us where He wants to heal us in our lives and what needs to be healed. So the pattern is that we fully acknowledge our feelings to God and we commit ourselves to serve and love other people. So managing our emotions really is that when I do not feel like it, because I know the truth, I can love other people in the middle of it. And so being healed emotionally means I no longer depend on them to give me what I think I need. I'm depending on the Spirit. So let me make this one last offer here. Can I see this robe, Deb? I'm not taking your righteousness from you. I just want to make this. This is kind of on my heart here. I just want to say this is a robe of righteousness. And for every wound you carry, God offers you a robe to heal your wounds. And whatever it is going on, you know, this is just on my heart for whoever it is. That however you have struggled, whatever your failures are, even right now, you could be sitting in a pool of failure. And you could be looking at God like, I can't do this. I have failed and failed and failed. And maybe horribly. Maybe you're involved in some really bad stuff. It all begins here. Will you let God love you? Can you begin by saying, I'm your daughter? It all begins by saying, I receive sonship right now. Can it begin by receiving the love of God? Not, I'm going to get it together. Not, I'm going to fix this. Not when I have 3 days in a row, then I'll approach God. But can it all begin by saying, Lord, I receive unconditionally what you offer me unconditionally, your righteousness, sonship, or being your beloved daughter. And he is so pleased with who he's made you to be as his son or daughter. I need all of my needs every day, every morning. All of my needs need to be met. I need his love. I also need his acceptance. Love without acceptance doesn't do me a lot of good. I need his absolute forgiveness. He's not holding anything against me right now. Love and acceptance without forgiveness doesn't do me a lot of good. I need love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And I need to know that I am significant. My life matters. Because love and acceptance, a sense of security without significance, isn't a whole picture. I need all of it. And you know what? He meets all your needs completely, all the way, every day, right now, as you are. It all begins by receiving that very thing. The gospel sets us free like nothing else on earth. It's the most powerful thing. It can change your life in a moment, and he'll take the rest of your life to convince you of it. Our lives are examples of that thing. The gospel sets us free. When I look in the mirror, I look in the mirror and say, thank you. I'm looking at a son of God. And when you look in the mirror, you have to allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you who he's made you to be as a son or daughter of God. He's done it. It's yours. All you have to do is receive it. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us your righteousness, for making us your own, your very offspring. We are yours. You're not looking at us through rose-colored glasses. You're not even looking at us through the eyes of your son, but you are looking at us as a son, as a daughter. We're yours. Can we just get a hold of that very thing and own it and embrace it? May we all take that home and never, ever let it go. Your love and acceptance, your forgiveness. And we're significant because we're yours. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bending beneath the weight of his wind.